Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Good morning and welcome to our service of worship on the second Sunday of Easter. Our homilist today is Archdeacon Liz Labazou. And now let us prepare our hearts for a time of prayer. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. May His grace and peace be with you. May He fill our hearts with joy. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you. We give you thanks. We praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the Collect for the second Sunday of Easter. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe, and the hope of those who doubt, may we, who have not seen, have faith and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Acts, chapter 5, beginning at the 27th verse. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teachings, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 118, verses 14 to 29. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live, and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank that you have answered me and become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Holy and mighty God, your Son's triumph over sin and death has opened to us the gate of eternal life. Purify our hearts that we may follow where he has gone and share in the radiance of his glory. We ask this for the sake of our risen Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, beginning with the fourth verse. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and who made us to be a kingdom, priests serving God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord, we thank you for the gift of the word. As we think on these things, open our hearts and our minds to hear you. Amen. Good morning. Today is the second Sunday after Easter, often referred to as Sunday of Divine Mercy. All the pomp and pageantry of Easter week has ended, which included additional services and increased attendances at churches, extra events, more production. Every aspect of ministry was in overdrive for the biggest weekend of the church calendar. We enjoyed the family reunions, the delicious foods, the beautiful flowers. But for most of us, it was the church services, one for each specific day of the week, the sermons that we heard, and the hymns that were sung at each service. Easter Sunday, the day of resurrection, we even raised our voices too. Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah. Even our community Catholic Church recorded services for Good Friday and Easter Sunday. But just a reminder, even though Easter Sunday has ended, there are still 7 full Sundays of the Easter season left. It marks an entire chapter in the church year. And now what? What is our next step? This is the looming question. First of all, let us ask ourselves this question. Did Jesus' resurrection make a difference in our lives? Is your life different? Are you seeing and engaging the world in new ways? These are questions that we can ask of ourselves. And to answer them, we have to look deep into ourselves and see what has changed. Our lives may still look the same, still stuck in the same place. Why aren't we living the resurrection better and more fully and authentically? After all, we did voice, "The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah." Did we not? I've read that resurrection takes time, and it is something that we grow into. It's a process and a way of being, and a life to be lived. But now on this, another sermon can be written. But for today, we will focus on the Gospel of John and what happened to Jesus' disciples and how they handled the death and the resurrection of their beloved Jesus. So let's recap quickly. Easter Sunday, that day, of course, was a day like no other. After the awful reality of Jesus' crucifixion and burial on Friday, this Sunday had brought some strange and unsettling events. Early that morning, we know that Mary Magdalene arrived at Jesus' tomb at the break of day and found that the stone had been rolled away and the body of Jesus was missing. She ran back to tell the disciples of this, and Peter and the other disciple quickly ran back to the tomb and had seen for themselves that it was true. The disciples returned to the house, and Mary was left by herself. She stood there and she wept. And then she was approached by a man. She thought he was the gardener, but when he called her name, her eyes opened wide, and she recognized that it was Jesus. Mary Magdalene had come to the disciples once again, this time to tell them she had seen the Lord. Now, when evening had approached on that day, we find that the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked with fear. We might have expected that they were celebrating by now, but no. We find them huddled together behind locked doors. So what were they fearing? Fearing the Jewish leaders who were behind the plot to kill Jesus themselves? Was it the fact that they were Jews and they were members of his disciples, and likely fearing for their own lives and afraid of their uncertain future? Or were they fearing the fact that Jesus has risen and he was out there somewhere? Also, we have to know that when John describes the house, the doors, and the locks, he is actually speaking about more than a physical house with walls, doors, hinges, and deadbolts. What he is doing is describing the inner and interior conditions of the disciples, the locked places of their lives. The locked places of our lives are always more about what is going on inside of us than around us. What are the closed places of your life? And what keeps you in the tomb? As we see in the Gospel, Jesus, however, will not be stopped by locked doors. He, who is himself the door of the sheep, comes right through those locked doors and appears in the midst of his frightened sheep. He comes not to confront his disciples with their failures, but to grant them peace. His greeting, "Peace be with you," is a blessing that conveys more than tranquility, but a deep sense of well-being, the kind that the world cannot give, He is breathing life into what looks lifeless. Jesus shows them his hand and his side so that they can see it is truly him, the real flesh and blood, crucified Jesus, not a ghost or an apparition, who is before them. But one of the disciples was not there. Thomas missed it all. To this day, his whereabouts still remains a mystery. But the bottom line is we don't know where he was or what he was doing. When Thomas returned, he was greeted by his ecstatic friends as they exclaimed, "We have seen the Lord." They told him about his appearing and what he looked like and what he had said. But Thomas was dubious and said, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." Ever since then, he has been dubbed the doubter. Thomas wanted to see, to believe, and probably pretty much like us. What would you have said or done if you were Thomas and you were being told that your fellow disciples have seen the dead Jesus alive? We would have doubted them also. We need to see it to believe it, right? So what has happened in the week following the resurrection of Jesus and his first visit with the disciples? Well, actually nothing. The disciples were still in the same place, the same room with the doors locked, shutting the doors of their lives, minds, and their hearts. I wonder, 1 week after Easter, are our lives different? Where are we living? In the freedom and joy of the resurrection, or are we living behind closed doors? How is our life different after Easter? And if it isn't, what are the locked places of our lives, our hearts, and our minds? But now back to Thomas. Yes, he wasn't there at Jesus' first visit, but there was also nothing indicating that he did doubt the resurrection. He simply doubted the testimony of the other disciples. Actually, in this sense, he is no different than the other disciples who doubted the story of Mary, who first discovered the tomb empty. Their words seemed to be nonsense on the part of the disciples, and they didn't believe him. They too had to see it for themselves. So what do we know is that Thomas had more than proven his loyalty to Jesus. After being in Bethany with Jesus and Jesus raising Lazarus, he was being asked to come back. But what happened in Jerusalem was that Jesus had offended the Jewish leaders and that they had threatened to kill him. The other disciples begged him not to go back because they knew that the Jews were just going to try and stone him. But Thomas was the only one that stood with Jesus and said, "Let's go also, that we may die with him." Thomas was anything but wavering with his faith. He believed Jesus was the promised Messiah and that the kingdom of God was at hand. And he was willing to sacrifice his own life, if necessary, to help Jesus complete his mission. Again, I don't think that Thomas was questioning Jesus, but the disciples. After all, we know when they had seen Jesus walking on the water, they thought they had seen a ghost. So who's to say they weren't mistaken now? Furthermore, Thomas wasn't asking for any special favor from Jesus. He just wanted to see for himself. Jesus appeared to the other disciples, so why should he be different? Let's face it, we all want to see for ourselves, don't we? There is a statement that says, it's not good enough to ride the wave of another's faith. We want to have our own encounters with the living Christ. So now it is about 8 days later, and Thomas's desires were going to be met. Jesus again appeared to his disciples, and still in the same place as the first time, but this time Thomas is with them. And again, the first thing he says to them is, "Peace be with you," meaning that he really did forgive them, and they are still his friends. And peace be with you. Jesus knows what Thomas needed. And he offers him the chance to touch the place where the nails were in his hands and feel where the lance pierced his side. Jesus was happy to show him how real he was. This was enough for Thomas. And Thomas makes the first full profession of faith in the divinity of Christ in the gospel and says, "My Lord and my God." You see, Jesus knew what we and Thomas needed. We need something tangible to let us know that God is real, something that we can touch. So what did he give us? Well, he gave us Holy Communion, a reminder each week that Jesus is real. We can touch and taste and receive him in the bread and in the wine. Just when we were worried that God felt like an imaginary friend, we are reminded, week by week, that he is real. As for Thomas, this is all he wanted, just proof to know that God was real. Jesus' answer to Thomas' profession was, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet to come to believe." Jesus did not say this to scold or ridicule or belittle him. He was there because Thomas needed him. Thomas loved Jesus, and Jesus loved Thomas. And we know that for over 3 years, Thomas had followed Jesus everywhere he went. He had watched Jesus feed the 5,000, walk on water, and bring Lazarus back to life. He had listened to the words of Jesus as he preached the Sermon on the Mount. Thomas had poured his life into Jesus and into Jesus' ministry and vision. And now Jesus was pouring his life into Thomas. Jesus saw that Thomas needed a little bit more help. He just needed some more surety. Dear friends, yes, he was doubting Thomas, but let's not forget confessing Thomas, as he is in today's gospel as well. "My Lord and my God." Within these words, he has recognized and named a new relationship, a new way of being. Somewhere between doubting Thomas and confessing Thomas is the story of resurrection in Thomas's life. It's a new starting place for him, and I'm quite sure we all have our own starting places also. Where is your starting place, and what are the facts of your life today? The starting place for the story of our resurrection is whatever is. Whatever your life is today, whatever your circumstances are, that's the starting point for your story of resurrection. If you may be dealing with loneliness, sorrow, and loss, if you are locked up in a room of fear, darkness, confusion, or of illness or disability, these are the facts of your life today. That's your starting point. That is the room that Christ enters, and that is your starting place. Don't judge any of these as good, bad, right, or wrong. It's just where you are today, and know that that is the place where Christ will show up. We saw it happen twice today in the gospel, and both times the disciples were in the same house behind the same locked doors, and Jesus shows up. He stands in the midst of them. The walls and the locked doors of their house could not keep Jesus out, and the walls and the locked doors of your house will not keep him out either. Jesus steps in the midst of our house through those locked doors. He breathes peace, hope, courage, and strength into us. That breath of peace is the key that will unlock the doors. So I ask you to take it in. Breathe it all in. Let it fill and enliven you. Let it give you the courage, the hope, and the strength to unlock and open the doors of your life. And then get out of the house. Amen.
The Intercessory Prayer. In joy and hope, let us pray to the source of all life, saying, "Hear us, Lord of glory." That our risen Savior may fill us with the joy of his holy and life-giving resurrection, let us pray to the Lord.
Hear us, Lord of glory.
That isolated and persecuted churches may find fresh strength in the Easter gospel, let us pray to the Lord.
Hear us, Lord of glory.
That he may grant us the humility to be subject to one another in Christian love, let us pray to the Lord.
Hear us, Lord of glory.
That he may provide for those who lack food, work, or shelter, let us pray to the Lord.
Hear us, Lord of glory.
That by his power wars and famine may cease through all the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Hear us, Lord of glory.
That he may reveal the light of his presence to the sick, the weak, and the dying, and they may be comforted and strengthened, especially remembering Philip, Shane, Doug, Al, Gary, Phyllis and Pat, Sherry, Nancy, Cecile, Victor, and Bruce. Let us pray to the Lord.
Hear us, Lord of glory.
that he may send the fire of the Holy Spirit upon his people, that we may bear faithful witness to his resurrection. Let us pray to the Lord.
Hear us, Lord of glory.
Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with your one accord to make our common supplications to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together, you will hear their requests. Fulfill now our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth and in the age of to come eternal life. For you, Father, are good and loving, and we glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are all wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world, at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture Creator's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and every moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, and upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen. May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ, reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see everyone as our brother and sister, and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us this day and evermore. Amen. Go forth in the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Thanks be to God. Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.